President Joe Biden has publicly committed to leading the fight on corruption and illicit financial flows. And additionally, some of the new anti-money laundering reforms in the U.S.'s Anti-Money Laundering Act of 2020, which was just recently passed as part of the National Defense Authorization Act, really provides fertile ground for the U.S. to expand and strategically deploy financial pressures as part of its broader efforts to combat corruption and mass atrocities. And the reason we're saying this is, as you and your listeners know, East and Central Africa has been the deadliest war zone in the world over the past few decades. And it's really where we see mass corruption fueling conflict. And a lot of this stealing happens in dollars and euros and goes into the global formal financial system enabled by transnational profiteers. So disrupting these illicit financial flows can really affect the cost-benefit calculations of kleptocrats who are stealing and perpetuating atrocities. And that's exactly why we think that anti-money laundering measures, network sanctions, as part of a broader foreign policy strategy can be particularly effective in helping peace and good governance efforts in the region.
Megha, what are the key highlights of this report?
What we are calling for, one, is to really use existing anti-money laundering tools that the Treasury Department has, particularly the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, for example, the regulatory body within the Treasury Department, to use some of the tools like expanded usage of advisories to financial institutions on money laundering risks from corruption from the region, using authorities like the Section 311 of the Patriot Act, which really allows the Treasury Department to designate jurisdictions or financial institutions as money laundering concerns, and really setting up processes for better information sharing between banks, and really also leveraging the new authorities that the AML Act 2020 allows for it, you know, better understanding de-risking in the region, or better information sharing between public and private sector stakeholders on illicit flows. And additionally, we're also calling for the U.S. to expand use of its Global Magnitsky Authority. It's a particularly nimble and effective one to designate those who engage in corruption and human rights abuses, and work with partners like the U.K., the EU, and Canada, which have similar Magnitsky-style authorities to go after the ones that are perpetuating violence and corruption.
What about combating kleptocracy in these African regions, especially when critics say that Western institutions or individuals help these kleptocrats, so to speak, to deposit their ill-gotten wealth offshore, and in some cases to skirt around some of these laws aimed to prevent some of these things from happening?
Absolutely. And that's a really key point. You know, kleptocrats are enabled by transnational networks of profiteers, and it's important to weed out all of these bad actors from the financial system. The AML Act 2020, for example, allows for, you know, the building of a corporate registry in the U.S. that will allow for you know, certain authorities and certain entities to know who's behind a shell company, for example, that's probably being used to steal money. So you're right, absolutely. The stealing that's happening in South Sudan or DR Congo, the money is not staying there. It often flows out into the region and then on globally.
What are the major recommendations to help combat the situation that you talked about?
Absolutely. So using anti-money laundering measures and network sanctions and other tools that go after the dirty money flows as part of a broader foreign policy strategy. Often what we see are that, for example, sanctions are used as a policy unto themselves. It's not enough to just implement sanctions. They should be deployed as part of a broader strategy to achieve certain policy goals. And that's what we advocate for.